Hello and welcome to episode 8 of The So-So Show. It's a podcast especially for Southampton with her Zoe Hanson.
And him Simon Clark. And I can't believe we're on episode 8.
I know, right? How quickly has all that gone?
Do you know what? I am just loving that we are doing this as Southampton sort of starts to wake up from its sort of lockdown hibernation, you know? I'm really, really enjoying it.
On that subject, have you booked a babysitter for the 4th of July?
Yeah, I've booked it for that week, right?
and a do not disturb notice for the 5th.
Yeah. When they said, okay, the pubs can open from the 4th of July, is that 7 a.m? Is that 11? Like, just give me a specific time and I will sort it out. I'll arrange it.
There's so much excitement over that piece of news this week. And our guest today is going to give us an insight on what we might expect, not just from the venues of Southampton, but also from some members of the public as well when they get that first pint.
It's been really interesting seeing groups of people, you know, men and women of all different ages, when they get that first pint, even though it's in plastic and even though they can't drink it on the premises, the look on people's faces, the desire for a draft beer. Well, I think it's reignited a passion in people of this country, because when you can't have something for so long and suddenly it's available, people lose their minds over it.
So you're going to enjoy Annalise's interview. She's just brilliant. And she has the most amazing lockdown story. You do not want to miss it.
It is quite incredible how she survived lockdown given the circumstances that she put herself in 2 weeks before it. But we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. How's your week been, Zoe?
Oh my goodness, right. Okay, so it's been the best week. So first of all, Boris said that we could be in a support bubble because I'm a single parent family. Mm-hmm. So we went in a bubble with my folks who live down in Bristol. Littlen went down there for a few days and then I joined her for a long weekend last weekend. The best bit, walking out of my car, walking in their front door and going to have a hug. And then I thought, quick, just go and wash your hands. I was like that. Mum, just wait there. Just wait there. I'm going to go and wash my hands and then I'm coming back. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to have the biggest hug. Stay there, stay there. Because we must wash your hands still, all of that stuff.
It's great that she's got that message.
Yeah. So off I went and washed my hands. I had the biggest hug. And then I go to give my dad a hug and he's just not particularly huggy. Like, I'll give you a kiss, but he's not massively huggy. And he's like, all right. He just sort of taps you on the back a little bit, you know. The other amazing thing about being in a support bubble with those guys is not only seeing them and hugging them and seeing my little one and giving her a big kiss as well. My mum is a hairdresser.
Oh, my word.
I'm sort of sorry. I wanted to sort of be one of the people, you know, like, oh, I really want hairdressers to reopen. But my mum's a hairdresser. So I went down there and I said, right, cut the lot off. I think she cut off more than she left. I thought that possibly it was the culprit of the 2 stone that I put on in lockdown.
Turns out it isn't.
It wouldn't seem so.
How disappointing for you to realise that wasn't the case.
It really was. I got on the scales after my haircut and I'm like, that hasn't move. And then I've seen lots of family. We sat out in the garden on Father's Day. My brother had made scones and all of that stuff. And then my little one fell off a chair. And she fell off a chair and then an hour later she said to me, Mummy, my thumb hurts. And I looked at it and I thought, okay, that's 3 times the size of the other one. What are we going to do about that then? So off we go to minor injuries. And yes, she's broken her thumb. So she's in a splint and a sling.
She looks really cute in the sling.
Does she?
When you sent me that picture, I thought, what on earth? I thought she'd done her whole arm in because she was in a sling. But turns out it was only the thumb.
So it's there to take the swelling down. But that sling, that's the bit that she doesn't like, and that's the bit that she doesn't want to wear. I very often find her just wearing it as a necklace, not with her arm in it. And like, put that sling on! If you've ever broken a bone, so I've broken wrists and fingers and thumbs and hands and I don't know what, you have to think of everything, and everything you think you can do, you have to tackle from a different viewpoint. Washing your hands. How do you do that when you've only really got one, right? Breaking off a bit of loo roll when you've only got one hand It's the most difficult thing I think you've ever done. You can do it by sort of clicking your finger and thumb together along the perforation. That's the only way to do it. And the most hilarious thing at the moment, and look, don't call social services on me, but trying to watch her open a packet of crisps, which is totally impossible, is my favourite hobby. It's hilarious.
I was going to ask whether or not this broken thumb has slowed down her lockdown appetite in any way, but clearly it hasn't.
No.
You're still making 20 meals a day.
Yeah, but I give them all to her in crisp packets.
On the subject of food, by the way, when you came back from your visit to Bristol, was there a Mexico gold card waiting for you?
Oh, do you know what? I'm still waiting for it. I don't think they have my address. That's the deal, you see.
Because like Ed Sheeran has his Nando's gold card, and the amount of mentions and talking and verbals we've done for Mexico, I'm surprised they haven't issued you with a gold card.
I mean, given a chance, they've only been open a week. You know,
like... they have had other things to do.
Can I just tell you the funniest thing that I've seen this week? So I live in West End and there's a pub there called The Two Brothers. It's a nice pub, good food, all of that stuff, right? But obviously it is shut at the moment. And as I came out of the Tesco Express, I spotted two guys and I thought, genius. They had taken their own beers and their own cigs and gone and stood in the smoking area. We were just having a night out at the pub. Stood outside in the smoking area having their cans of lager. They're not one of these that's going to go home and make their own bar in their garden. They're just, look, what can we use that's already there?
Top marks for ingenuity.
Yes.
And of course, we found out this week that pubs will be opening soon. And if you're wondering quite how that's going to look, well, we have someone in the know who's certainly going to share the point of view of the businesses that she runs.
This is the wonderful Annalise Hughes. She's MD of Delicious Dining, who have lots of places all over the city.
Banana Wolf in Ocean Village, Grumpy Monkey on Above Bar, Enyo's on Town Quay, Banana Wharf in Hamble, and Grand Cafe, and soon to be Ruby's in South Western House. That is really difficult to remember.
Good list. A real sort of array of venues there. So the pandemic must have hit you hard and the lockdown even harder.
Yeah, it's been a real challenging time. We employ 220 people in the city and we can only advise as the government advise us. So waiting for information on an as and when basis is difficult when you want to be able to communicate and let people know what's going to happen. So there have been challenges around our people, but equally challenges about when we can reopen our business, what funding's available to us, how we're going to be able to secure that, and the list goes on and on.
Are they all closed, or have you sort of taken some sort of initiative and been quite innovative?
In any period of uncertainty or challenge, there is always some opportunity, and we've attempted to find that opportunity by looking at which of our sites we can be more agile with. So they are all closed with the exception of the Banana Wharf brand. So in Hamble and Ocean Village, they've been open for takeaway. We've also just converted a tuk-tuk into an ice cream machine, which sits out the front of Ocean Village, and we are now serving alcohol to take away from both of those sites too, because we're fortunate that the public spaces they sit in, the marinas, provide seating for people.
Even just knowing that you can go to a bar and get a beer is just quite a nice prospect.
It's been really interesting seeing groups of people, you know, men and women of all different ages, when they get that first pint, even though it's in plastic and even though they can't drink it on the premises, the look on people's faces, the desire for a draft beer. Well, I think it's reignited a passion in people of this country, because when you can't have something for so long and suddenly it's available, people lose their minds over it.
It's as close to normality as we can get at the moment.
I think what you do see when you expand the parameters and allow people some sort of social interaction to be able to be out again, you see the desire of people for that sense of normality. At the end of the day, we are all human beings, and whilst there is a certain amount that you can do over Zoom and over a WhatsApp video call, there isn't really anything that substitutes actual human interaction and those bonds that we have with one another. So I think that's really been what people have enjoyed by being able to go out into public spaces again. And also, you know, seeing people even from a distance that you haven't been stuck with for the last 3 months.
So the government have announced this week that you can open from July the 4th. Any ideas what that's going to look like for you guys?
We are planning for outside seating in both the Banana Wharfs, and we are going to be working with the council to try and utilise the space behind Enyo's. So there is a Grade 1 listed building called Canute's Palace, which would make the perfect area for alfresco dining. And I know that our own local council, but also across the UK, are very keen on encouraging use of outside spaces, be that car parks that are closed off, roads that are closed off, anything that we can do to stimulate the economy and enable the hospitality industry, you know, a better chance of getting back on its feet again.
And when you say outside seating, so Enyo's is a restaurant. Mm-hmm. How is this going to look?
That's a great question. Enyo's is a brand that works on people being inside. It's very warm, even the colours. It's a really rich, warm feeling when you enter that venue, and suddenly you've got to take that identity and stick it outside. And as a country, the last couple of weeks aside, we don't normally have particularly warm, long summers. So it's going to be a real challenge, because you can put X number of people on a shift if it's sunny, but if it starts raining, well, you're done. So I'd like to be able to give you a solid professional answer, but the solid answer is we're going to have to be really agile and just adapt along the way. And there's a lot that we still don't know that we will be making up as we go along.
Now, I've spent a lot of time in a lot of your venues, and what I love about Grand Cafe, Banana Wharf, is that you get everybody in, you know, in the bar, and everybody's chatting, and you talk to lots of different people that you've never met before. But I don't know how that can happen in the future.
I don't know how it can happen either. I think, you know, you need to...
Are you just saying people don't want to talk to me?
I think you need to go out with people that you're allowed to go out with and enjoy talking to those people. So, you know, if that's your own household, then you might be out of luck.
Well, she's 7, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, probably not the best idea. You can take her for a takeaway outside instead. But yeah, you're right. You know, the idea of a lot of venues, not just ours, up and down the UK, is hospitality works on a vibrant atmosphere, and that vibrancy comes from people being close to one another. So without that, what does that do to an atmosphere? So we have a challenge for our customers. How do we make that experience just as enjoyable whilst keeping them safe? And I guess you have to hope that customers, whilst they might miss that closeness, will favour that over safety and try and find different things to enjoy about the experience, like just being out the house. And can you imagine getting a meal cooked for you now that you don't have to wash up afterwards?
I mean, it's a dream, mate. It's a dream.
I can't wait for somebody else to cook and clear up. I mean, there are serious limitations to what I'm able to cook, and I did them all in the first week. If it's not a spag bol or a shepherd's pie, it's not on the menu. And I think there are probably lots of people that are, you know, just as bad at cooking as I am. And we can't wait to have those people back again and give them that experience of not having to eat and drink in their own homes.
Is there anything that we can do as Southampton to help delicious dining?
I think it's not just about helping delicious dining. It's what can our residents and visitors do to help the industry. And that's, please come and see us. Please come and enjoy what we have to offer. Our staff are wanting to get back to work, have missed being around customers, and that's up and down the country. So please come out of your homes and join us again as we try and get our industry back on track.
Annalise Hughes, the MD of Delicious Dining, telling us how it's going to be at their venues when they reopen on the 4th of July, and also giving us an insight in how some of them have continued to trade during that period. We've got more from her a bit later. She has a really interesting lockdown story, something that she did relationship-wise just before lockdown happened, which proved to be rather challenging. But she's come out the other side of it okay, I think. But we'll talk more about that a little bit later on.
Whatever you think it is, it's not that niche, all right? She's so good though, isn't she? With her at the helm, you know that those venues are going to be great.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, even, you know, Banana Wharf serving their beers down at Ocean Village and down in Hamble with Yannick. There's just really, really lovely venues. There's always going to be a nice atmosphere there. And imagine going down there and just having a beer or an ice cream, or an ice cream in your beer on a sunny day like we've had this week.
Can you do beer floats like you can Coke floats?
I think you can, but I don't know if you'd want to.
Cider floats, maybe?
Oh my gosh, that sounds disgusting.
I might have to try that just for the hell of it. Stick a scoop of ice cream in some flavoured cider and see what happens. So it's great that the pubs are being able to reopen. I have a friend who's got a pub up in the Midlands, and he was getting a little bit desperate. He couldn't understand how estate agents were able to do show rounds, but he wasn't able to have people in his pub. So he hatched upon the idea that if they hadn't lifted lockdown for pubs, he was going to put his pub on the market and then do show rounds daily between 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. and refreshments would be available. And that was going to be his way around it all. But he hasn't had to stoop to that level yet.
Do you know what? This swings both ways then, I think. Like, so if a pub is thinking that they might become an estate agent, you know, then maybe house viewings could have a bar and serve refreshments, like you say.
Can you imagine that?
As long as they're at a 2 metre distance and there's not more than six people in the house at one time. Because you could have a viewing and make money at the same time.
Can you imagine the number of house sales that would happen if you could get the prospective buyers drunk and then stick a contract straight under their nose and say, you're going to love it. Trust me. Here, sign that.
I have always found it the most bizarre thing that you will spend 10 minutes in a house and then decide to buy it and go and live there for 20 years or whatever. But if you're buying a car or if you're buying, I don't know, a jumpsuit, let's say, you try it on for about the same amount of time and it will cost you, I don't know, 100,000 times less. But I've always thought you should be able to test drive a house. So you should be able to go and stay in it for a weekend, right? Just to make sure that you get a feel for it and stuff, you know.
That would be quite cool, actually. You'd realise that you're on the flight path to Southampton Airport. Yeah. I don't see it's going to happen, but I think it's a genius idea.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Full of it, mate. Full of it.
One of the interesting things this week as well is noticing people who are trying their hardest to get back up to speed and to earn some money. I was down at the Western Shore the other day. I stopped off on a bike ride and I noticed one of those funfair trailers was parked up. You know where you've got to hit a target with X number of arrows or whatever, and then you get a Mickey Mouse or a Mocky Mouse, because they're never actually quite like Mickey Mouse, are they? Or a white Siegfried and Roy tiger.
Right,
and,
yes.
You know, it's there. The kids want you to prove how good you are, so whatever. But I was just impressed that they decided to pitch one of those down at the Western Shore, because anywhere there are people gathered, they're thinking, do you know what? I'll try my luck here. There's a burger van, there's an ice cream van, there's going to be people down here. I'll see if I can make a bit of money from the passers-by with my Mocky Mouse and my Siegfried and Roy tigers.
I love them.
So fair play to them.
Do you remember the story? It was up the top of, round the back of Boundary Lakes golf course, you know, the Hilton golf course, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody spotted a white tiger, like you said, and they thought that it escaped from Marwell Zoo. So they had helicopters going up with heat-seeking devices and marksmen ready with tranquilizer guns. And like you say, it was one of those Siegfried and Roy white tiger.
The helicopter was buzzing over the top of our house that day. We couldn't work out what was going on. And then when it broke the next day in the news.
Hilarious.
One of the great Southampton pranks, I think, of all time. So pubs reopening on the 4th of July, hairdressers opening as well, which will be great news for, well, not you, clearly, because you can go and visit your mum and she'll sort yours out.
Yes.
But footballers everywhere will rejoice that the salons reopen. I don't know whether you saw any of the Southampton game the other night, but but you can spot which players live with hairdressers and you can spot which players clearly dye their hair.
Yes, of course. And I was hoping, though, that everybody would go a little bit sort of Kevin Keegan. You know what I mean?
You can't go a little bit Kevin Keegan. You either have to go full Keegan or not at all.
I'm going to have a full Keegan. That's what I'm going for in lockdown. Full Keegan.
But it was nice to have football back on the telly at the moment. It's nice to have sport back on the back pages of the newspapers too.
Yeah.
But it all seems to be working quite well with football returning. Marwell Zoo's going to be reopening on Monday the 29th. Members only first, but then open to the public on the 3rd of July.
They do a great job up at Marwell. It's always such a brilliant day out. And especially now that they can open their play parks as well. All of the outdoor play parks can open. So, you know what? That just makes for such a brilliant day out.
And then cinema. Cinemas reopen soon as well. The Showcase in Southampton plans to open its doors on the 10th of July, and they've got all sorts of different things up their sleeves to try and make it easy for people to go, like limited capacity, staggered film start times. They'll be doing fewer screenings. You'll be able to self-scan your tickets as well. They're starting by showing cinematic classics for just a five or a throw.
Right.
And then, of course, we get into the big films of the summer, like the live-action Mulan.
Do you know what they should do to stop having so many many people in the same room at the same time. Just let me know when the adverts are going to finish and when the film starts. I'll go in then.
That would be a great way of staggering the start, wouldn't it?
And the other thing, I'll tell you what has happened, and this is Southampton putting us on the map. So Royal Victoria Country Park, last weekend, they held the first UK drive-in gig.
Oh, that was the thing with Shane McGowan, wasn't it?
Right. But how brilliant is this? So they had about 80 cars, 60 to 80 cars, all pull in. They could only get out and picnic on the left side of their car, and then they had acts up on the stage. How amazing is that? And I think you get some sort of receiver that sits on top of your car.
They broadcast the sound on FM,
yep,
and you tune your car radio into that frequency, and that's how you get the sound.
How brilliant is that, eh?
That's how drive-in movies work. I imagine that's how they've done it at Royal Victoria Country Park as well. But yeah, it's great. You know, things are getting back to normal, whether it's fairground game shows where you can win NAFFOLD Tigers, or whether it's concerts and soon, obviously, the pubs as well. It's great to see life returning to sort of some semblance of normal. On the subject of Annalise, shall we share her lockdown story before we finish?
Oh, please. Right. Okay. Here we go. This is awesome. Pin back your ears. You're going to go on a ride.
Yeah. So I was one of those people that I actually moved in with my boyfriend 2 weeks before lockdown.
Ooh.
When we moved in together, I'm really hoping he's not going to listen to this. When we moved in together, he was working away 4 nights a week and I was working away 4 nights a week. So it was lovely because we only saw each other at the weekends. And I say to everybody that living with someone through COVID is like dog years. Effectively, we've been together 10 COVID years, even though we've only actually been together a year. And we just didn't sign up for that. We did not sign up for 24/7 in the same house.
Are you past the honeymoon period?
I definitely am past the honeymoon period. And I don't know if any other couples out there can relate to this, but one of the tricks became to get a little bit of time to myself. I would say at 9 o'clock, oh, I'm going to go to bed now because I'm feeling a bit tired. And actually, I just wanted to go upstairs and watch what I wanted on Netflix. And your partner turns around and says, do you want me to come too? No, I don't want you to come too. This is my sanctuary. But the honeymoon period is well and truly over. And just in case he is listening, yeah, just to cover myself, we have managed it very well. And I'm sure that long term we'll be stronger for it.
So it could have gone either way, but it sounds like she's done all right out of it. Annalise Hughes, our guest this week, with her lockdown story of how she decided to move in with someone who she wasn't planning on spending that much time with just before lockdown.
I mean, you'd be nervous in the best of times, wouldn't you? But right now, I mean, when you went into lockdown, did you think, oh, it's going to last for about 2 weeks? I did. And it's lasted for 3 months. What?
I love the fact that her boyfriend, when she said she was going to go upstairs early, didn't take that as any other indication that something might happen. Because most men probably would.
This is not an invitation.
I'm going upstairs to watch TV in my Winsett pyjamas buttoned all the way up to the top. I don't think somehow Annalise owns a pair of those. Anyway, we hope you've enjoyed our podcast again this week. Please subscribe. You'll find us on all the platforms like iTunes and Spotify, and we're on Google as well. Subscribe and share as well. And we'd really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And if there's anything that you think that we should be talking about, like anything going on around Southampton that we don't know about, please let us know. We're on all the socials, or just get in touch through the website, thesososhow.co.uk.
That's where you'll find us. Do we need to book the week off after July 4th? Or do you think you're going to be okay to record one on the Friday afterwards?
Okay, well, it depends how good you are with me with a hangover.
We've not experienced that yet. So every day's a school day. Right, have a great week, Zoe.
And you, Simon.